You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, composer-lyricist Maury Esten focuses on his score for the Tony-winning musical, Nine. As the head of the BMI Musical Theater Workshop for over 25 years, Esten has influenced many up-and-coming writers. His students have Tonys, Emmys, Grammys, and Pulitzer Prizes.
This is Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater, past, present, and future. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus. Today, composer-lyricist Maury Esten talks about Nine, the musical adaptation of Federico Fellini's film Eight and a Half, which won the Tony Award for Best Musical in 1982. Maury Esten's songwriting career began at an early age.
I won an award, I think, when I was 6 or 7 for an original melody at the local community center. And the joke is the next award I won was the Tony, 30 years later. It was just something that I did. And going through some old papers that my mother had found the other day, I also came across little notes that I would write to her if she had been out. And she had a phone call. I would write the note that somebody called her in doggerel. I'd forgotten that. Always rhyming, always doing that, always playing around with words. That way, I just was in that direction. It's what I liked to do. It was fun.
When did you fall in love with musical theater? Do you remember your first show?
I remember it. Sure. I was 10 years old, and they took me to see My Fair Lady.
Uh-huh.
And that was it.
That's not a bad one to
That's
start
it,
out
the
with.
Mark Hellinger. Boom. Uh-huh. What's this?
Time to come out of your mouth. Wrap you up in a mother's love. Take a towel and dry your little head.
Before writing the musical Nine, Esten wrote the title song for Carol Churchill's hit off-Broadway play, Cloud Nine.
You tell me a funny story about playing the title song for
yes.
the playwright.
This is what every writer will go through, and it's about how to be flexible. What they had asked me to do was think if I could write some song at the end of the play that would bring it around to a kind of emotional conclusion that would involve music. And I sat down and I wrote a song about how difficult it is to live in the modern world. In fact, the opening line of the song was, it's another day in the modern world. I called up Tommy Tune and Michael Stewart about a week later and said, well, I think I have something that may be useful. I'd like you to hear it. And we met in New York, and I played the song. And when I turned around, they were both literally in tears. And I was in tears. It's a very moving song. And 3 weeks from that time, Carol Churchill was scheduled to arrive from England. And it was a big moment for us. You know, we're going to play the song for Carol. And Carol came. We all sat down. I played her the song. When I got finished, Carol turned to us and said, I hate it. And I said, well, you know, of course, the music is there only to serve you. And she said, well, not the lyric, just the music. And I said, well, I think what I ought to do is perhaps just write another song that will please all of you. That's my function here, to serve the piece. And I did. And that's the one that we now use in the show in various versions.
Gaston also provided incidental music for Cloud Nine.
Incidental music has its own particular function. It must be self-contained. It's, in a way, meant to be heard with only one ear, because you've got to pay attention to what else is going on while the music is going on. It's a form of underscoring. That's one of its functions. Another of its functions is to function as a transition or a diversion in the drama rather than the main event. So you have to take a back seat when you're writing incidental music. And it came as no surprise to me, for example, that when Cloud Nine was reviewed, no one mentioned the music at all.
Nine is a significant number for Maury Gaston. It not only figures in the titles of his shows, it also took 9 years to get Nine on Broadway.
I started writing the piece in 1973. That's when I got the idea for it. And I was an unknown writer, living off by myself, working in a little room. I didn't have book collaborators, I didn't have a director, I didn't have producers. Nobody knew about me. And in order to create the piece, I had to create theater songs that could carry the character, the scenery, the story. In many ways, I had to work as one might work in radio. It all had to work on the level of what you hear rather than what you see. And I knew I'd have to do that to convince people that they ought to try to put this show on. And it took a long time to break through. New writers aren't ordinarily given a $2.5 million production and 22 actresses and said, well, here it is on a silver platter. You have to pay a lot of dues and work very hard. And it simply took that long for the timing to be right, for me to be given an opportunity to show my work to the world.
Here's Raul Julia, who plays film director Guido Contini in Nine, a character modeled after Fellini himself.
I would like to be here. I would like to be there. I would like to be everywhere at once. I know that's a contradiction in terms, and it's a problem. Especially when my body's clearing 40 as my mind is nearing 10. I can hardly stay up, and I can't get to sleep. I don't want to wake tomorrow morning. at the bottom of some heap. But why take it so seriously? After all, there's nothing at stake here, only me. I want to be young, and I want to be old. I would like to be wise before my time, and yet be foolish and brash and bold. I would like the universe to get down on its knees and say, Guido, whatever you please, it's okay. Even if it's impossible, we'll arrange it. That's all that I want. I am lusting for more. Should I settle for less?
I ask you, what's a good thing for, if not for taking it to excess?
One limitation I dearly regret. There's only one of me I've ever met.
I would like to have another me to travel along with myself. I would even like to be able to sing a duet with myself.
I would like to be here,
sing along with myself in a song. To be there, walking down the lane now. Everywhere,
everywhere,
everywhere. That's a contradiction in terms. I want to be here with counter hair, melody in the hair. Top of the morning to you, Guido.
Guido, 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 me.
I want to be Bruce.
It is sad.
I would like to be Christ, Mohammed, Buddha,
but not have to believe in God, and you know I mean it with all of my heart. It's the end if something important doesn't start. I want to be young, but I have to be old. What I want is a tale of sound and fury that some idiot went and told. I would like the universe to get down on its knees and say, Guido, whatever you please, it's okay, and if it's ridiculous, we'll arrange.
That's all that I want.
The original concept of Nine was to have a mixed cast of men and women, but when it came to Broadway, it had only one man surrounded by 22 women and four boys.
I think it was Toon who rather brilliantly suggested, having understood, that if we had all women and one man, that would not only raise the stakes for the central character, Guido, but it would make him instantly rather important on stage as the only man and give him some credibility as the great director he's supposed to be. And I must say to his credit that his idea initially met resistance from Arthur Copit, the book writer, and met resistance from me. It was kindly resistance. I had a problem. I had conceived a score for mixed chorus, men and women. Mm. And what would I do? And at his inspirational best, Toon said, well, this gives you an opportunity to find all kinds of new and varied sounds for a female chorus. And I said, right. I had about 8 wine spritzers first. And I said, right, let's go. Liliane Montevicchi arrived on our stage on her way back to Paris, I guess, from Hollywood. And she said, hello, I've just come from Hollywood. I went there to give them a chance to make me a star, but they did not want to, so I am here. I am looking for a job. Any job will do, even some small role, as long as I am on the stage for 5 minutes. Alone. And I don't know who it was. It may have been Tommy Toon. It may have been Arthur Copit. Somebody said, couldn't she be the producer? And we said, all right, after all, the producer is a non-singing role, and we, you know, it didn't even matter how she sang. And we didn't even hear her sing, and we offered her the role of the producer. And when I heard her sing one note, I knew that she was as much as we have left of that which we love dearly in Maurice Chevalier. And Folie Bergère is something that happened on a tablecloth of, it's true, of the Century Café. I was sitting there and thinking about the scene, and I said, well, gee, why, she's a French producer. Why shouldn't she say, continuer, you know, I thought you were going to make a musical movie, you know, make me something like Folie Bergère, give me singing. And I wrote Folie Bergère.
Folie Bergère, at her showing of color, costume, and dancing. Not a moment in life could be more entrancing than an evening you spend at Folies Bergères. Folies Bergères! Not a soul in the world would be in despair when he is glancing at the fabulous stage de Folies Bergères. Think of the footlights bright and gleaming. A striptease, le cancan, we all adore. Life is too short without dreaming. And dreams are what the cinema is for. Folies Bergères. La musique et la danse sont la lumière. Les jolies petites les belles bouquetières.
This is Anything Goes with Paul Lazarus. My guest today is composer-lyricist Maury Yeston.
How did you write the song about St. Sebastian's, which is about Catholic guilt learned?
That's really interesting. So many people have come up to me over the years and said, how did you boil down the quintessence of that awful experience I had at Catholic parochial school, and yet how inspiring it was, the wonderful thing, the stained glass, the Bach chorales. How did you do that? I mean, what Catholic parochial school did you go to? Now, I went to a yeshiva in northern New Jersey, but I based the song completely on my experiences of going to the yeshiva. It's really true that all parochial schools are unhappy. Yeah. In the same way.
It's doesn't a transferable matter. Experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I remember Saint Sebastian with a memory most unkind. I can hear the bells I heard when I went there. Inside the church, inside my mind. The bells of Saint Sebastian only ring once in your ears. But if you're very young when you hear them, their sound can last 100 years. But the music of the ringing was the music of our singing when we were singing carols. Of us at St. Sebastian, no longer young and not yet old.
But why did you go to her?
To see what she was like.
Each day at St. Sebastian in the classroom we would hear that devils lurk behind every corner. If you tried to look, they would disappear. The nuns at St. Sebastian tried to teach the facts of life, explaining there are two kinds of women. One was a whore, one was a wife. But the music of the ringing was a different world that opened through our singing when we were singing carols. Souls of little boys at St. Sebastian, too young to save. Kyrie eleison.
Tell me about that fabulous new singing ensemble, the Maury Tabernacle Choir.
The Maury Tabernacle Choir. Well, when you're alone with your little TAC, it's difficult sometimes to ask people to conceive of counterpoint. And very often we conceive musical numbers that require things like countermelody, that require the sound of massed voices, and what with the technology of home taping these days, very often when I do write a number that that involves multiple voices, I simply take myself and I sing all the parts myself, and it's my family calls it the Mori Tabernacle Choir, and you know, to do the Germans at the Spa, I simply sing all the parts of the Germans at the Spa, generally at breakneck speed, four times faster than it will ever appear in any show.
Renata, take the sheets and the pillowcases from the east wing and bring them over to the west wing. And Alfredo, take the blankets from the north wing and bring them over to the south wing. And for Christ's sakes, hurry up, they'll be here any minute. Clear the decks, be alert.
We'll clear the decks, we'll be alert.
Fix your tie, fix your skirt.
We'll fix our tie and skirt.
Be prepared to change a foreign coin. Deutschmarks, francs,
kroner,
pfennigs, shillings. You all know what to do.
We all know what to do.
They're on their way, you know who.
They're on their way, you know who.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neun.
The Germans at the Spa, the Germans at the Spa. They'll soon be arriving here to spend a lost weekend in Shangri-La. The Germans at the Spa descend from German mounts. They come to take the waters with the daughters of Italian counts. How we love to have the Germans at the Spa, carefully avoiding any slight faux pas. For the Germans at the Spa, for the Germans at the Spa, for the Germans. Alles must be perfect. The Germans are coming, the Germans are coming. Roll out the Wiener Schnitz, roll out the Wiener Schnitz. They'll soon be arriving, the Spa will be thriving. They'll come, they'll sit, they'll schwitz, they'll come, they'll sit and schwitz, be sure. There's lots of German music
playing. Maury Yeston's songwriting career isn't just confined to the theater.
Do you write a lot of pop songs?
Yeah, I write every day in many areas, and absolutely so. I love the medium of song. I think songs are the hardest things to do because you don't have the resources of an 80-piece orchestra. You have a single melodic line that has to float, and a single sentiment that has to be expressed and come to some sort of closure or conclusiveness. And it has to be, in a way, familiar and, in a way, fresh.
How did Dangling come to be written?
It's not a personal song. I didn't write it for anyone. I think I was toying at the piano one day and I played the opening piano figure, and the song just happened.
Feeling low, feeling blue, I am still in love with you, and I don't know what to do. You left me dangling, neither he on dangling.
know why I write songs. I think that there are things in life that you just can't change and that you just can't control. But you can go into a little room and construct your own little world, which you can possibly shape, change, control, and try to make it perfect. And a song is like that. I think that's why we do crossword puzzles. That's why we make perfect little constructions, why we make model airplanes. It's because it's a small thing that we can put together and we can control and watch it run and make it work the way we want it to work. And I can try to make perfect in song what perhaps I can't make perfect in life.
In a very unusual way, one time I needed you. In a very unusual way, you were my friend. Maybe it lasted a day. Maybe it lasted an hour. But somehow it will
listening to composer-lyricist Maury Yeston. Sound mixing by David Rapkin. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information and bonus materials, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.